I know it's weird. Just talk like you normally would.
I don't, now that I'm in front of a mic, I don't know. I don't know how I normally talk. What is normal for me? Is this my normal voice?
Welcome to a very, very special episode of the Send Help Podcast. Personally, I feel truly blessed because not only did I get one bitch that I was trying to so hard to get on this podcast, who was on last week's episode, Rhiannon.
What up, what up?
But now I have another bitch that I've been trying to get on this podcast for so long, and I've trapped her in our home, and I fed her many mimosas. And
Send help, literally!
So, and I've just peer pressured her into doing the podcast. This is the first episode where we've had three people on it. So this is very exciting. But this is Nikki Ray!
Hey, it's me. You've probably heard about my stories, but...
So, Nikki Ray, so I told the story about you tailgating and your chipped tooth.
Yes, I've chipped the same tooth multiple times.
Well, it's your front tooth, so that's why.
Yes.
But no one would ever know.
No.
Like, literally no one would ever know.
Thank you. You have to say that, but...
I would never just say that.
Well, thank you. I'm glad it's not as noticeable as I feel it is.
But it is a quality tailgate tale, which I feel like we have a lot of, like, good tailgate stories. We were actually reminiscing about your mom making very strong jello shots. Okay, so we're having this yard sale, and I was like, we're going to have mimosas. And I said, a coworker of mine told me about how she has jello shots at her yard sale. So anytime they'd make a sale, they'd have a jello shot. So then we reminisced about Jill Ray's jello shots. She used like a ridiculously like high potent alcohol, right?
Yes. Bacardi 151 that I don't really know why they had it, but my parents had Bacardi 151 that they otherwise were not using. And so my mom went ahead and decided to use it for her jello shots for this Penn State tailgate and truly barely made them with enough jello to like solidify. I mean, these things were strong and they really, I mean, jello shots are supposed to go down a little easier than like regular shots, but these did not go down easy and they were something, and she was trying to pawn them off on other people because nobody wanted them.
They literally burned and sizzled down your esophagus, and she's like trying to get them away. Yeah. She's like, take some jello shots.
Yes. Yes. She really was trying. I mean, God bless her. She tried.
She did.
And it was a very sweet thought, but they were not palatable.
Jello shots are kind of a challenge, I feel like. Because you have to have the right ratio of alcohol to jello to make it work.
Yes. And I think the alcohol that you use has to complement the flavor of the jello.
For sure.
And it can be tricky. And I'll give her credit for that was her first time. And for it being her first time making jello shots, they weren't bad.
No.
Just strong.
Just a little strong.
Just difficult to get down. But
it's fine.
It happens.
We love Jill Ray. And we have Rhiannon here. So Rhiannon and I are in Nikki Ray's bridal party.
Yes.
Yes.
Which is just going to be so exciting.
Why are you laughing?
Because it's going to be great.
Yes. It is going to be great.
I mean,
we're going to have a lot of fun time.
Definitely.
Supporting. We're going to keep it classy. Danielle.
Why does everything look at me? Okay, I may have asked Nikki Ray how she feels about strippers, and she's like, no, absolutely not.
I mean, I said it a little bit more delicately, like, well, they're not really my thing. If they're somebody else's thing, that's great, and I support that. But yeah, male strippers especially, oh. I can't. I don't know. Yeah. I hate to enforce gender stereotypes, but something about a male stripper is just so, so not at all desirable to me. Like,
no, like, I feel like I'd rather have a female stripper.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like at least there's some sort of art form to like ran and said pole dancing, or, you know, there's athleticism, there's right. an art form to it. It flows. It's like, actually, even if you're not super into like the stripping aspect, there's still something that you can appreciate. Whereas male strippers, it's just so aggressive.
Yeah, and very aggressive. They're like on you. And then you're like, I know you want my money, but I don't want you anywhere near me. I'm here to support a friend. Please go away, sir.
Yes. And
do
if
not come near me, and I don't want to see anything that you're doing.
Yes.
Go away.
And male strippers, if that is your thing and you like male strippers, or you are a male stripper, I support that 1,000%. I just, if I'm planning my perfect bachelorette party, it does not involve any strippers, just involves ghosts and demons and Ouija boards.
So we really cannot wait to go on this ghost tour. Like, I am excited about it. Like, I do think it's going to be really cool, and it's different. It's so yeah. different, and I love that. Maybe a little nervous, but it's going to be fine.
We're gonna not, you know, try to encourage the demons to implant themselves in our lives. We're going to just appreciate them, that they're there. But the thing with demons that I've learned from Zach Baggins. Zach Baggins? Is that his name? On Ghost so. Adventures?
Wait, is he dating Holly Madison?
Yes.
Like the
I think so. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. So Zach Baggins always told us that as long as you don't talk to them and you don't invite them in, they can't follow you home. So just don't invite them in, and they won't come home with you, hopefully, I think.
So I'll remember his words as I'm like walking through this like haunted penitentiary.
Yeah, Jesus. The Eastern State Penitentiary.
Can't wait.
In Philadelphia.
Cannot wait.
It'll be fun.
I'm excited.
I think it's not everybody's thing, but it's my thing, and that's all that matters.
It's your day.
I'm excited. I think wow. it'll be fun. I've been wanting to go to the Eastern State Penitentiary for a long time, and I figured what better time to go than when everybody else has no say in it, and
they have to do it
because it's my bachelorette party,
and be happy about it,
and they have to put on a smile and pretend like they're fine with it.
We
so
love that.
We just have to be. I feel like sometimes fear can.
Danny will be drunk. Danny will be intoxicated when Danny goes through the penitentiary, and that's fine.
You have to learn how to say it. It's a penitentiary.
Wow.
You're putting an airy.
Not a cyber school graduate at all. Like, duh.
No, it's fine. It's a hard word to say. The more I think about it, the harder it gets to say.
East Penn.
Yeah.
I think that's where I need to be.
I think it'll be fun. It'll be fine.
It is going to be fun.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, according to the Yelp reviews, the very aggressive one-star Yelp reviews, apparently there's not even that many ghosts. So.
Perfect. Didn't you say there's a one-star review, saw no ghosts?
Yes. There are multiple one-star reviews that people are like, oh, I paid money to come on this tour, and there weren't even any ghosts, as if the employees have any say over whether or not there are ghosts.
Do they think the ghosts are on the payroll? Like...
I mean, the ghosts get a W-2 at the end of the year, and, you know, they're definitely supposed to be there at the scheduled times, but...
But they just didn't show up because they just did a little too much angel dust the night before, and they just could not make it.
Yeah, they were a little hungover, you know, happens to the best of us, but, so, I mean, not only one, there were many, many one-star reviews that were like, this wasn't even that scary. Like, there's not even that many ghosts. And I'm like, well, it's not, first of all, it's not like a haunted house where there are actors. It is
right.
an abandoned penitentiary. It's like an abandoned prison. It is what it is. Like, that is what you're signing up
right,
for.
Which I think is cool in itself.
Like, yeah. I mean, it's a piece of history. And then whether or not it's haunted depends on whether or not you believe in that type of stuff. But you know, if you do believe in ghosts, then I feel like you have to understand that they show up when they show up. And
right.
I mean, we don't necessarily know why they're showing up, what their motives are, because it's difficult to ask them that. But
And we're not like mediums. So like, we're
right.
not like communicating with them.
Right. So to give a place a one-star review because the ghosts were not, you know, as active, didn't show up to their shift on time is a little bit ridiculous, but I don't know. Yelp is what it is.
Those Yelpers, like, so my brother and his girlfriend were really into Yelping for a while, and, like, I remember we got sushi at the beach last year, and they're like, there just was not enough wasabi, so, like, I'm just knocking 2 stars down, and I'm like, you are literally, like, the worst people. Like, I can't.
Like,
Yelpers are a different breed of people.
Listen, for me, okay, I don't really do Yelp. I do Google reviews sometimes, but yeah, only to give a positive review because I understand that, especially in the pandemic, but at all times, small businesses struggle. And you have to understand going in that, like, 5 stars does not necessarily mean that they washed your feet and, like, worshipped you. 5 stars is like you got what you expected.
Right.
And then anything less than 5 stars is like, there needs to be a good reason for it. You know, like somebody was like an employee was extremely rude to you or, you right. know, something like that. Or like the place wasn't up to like reasonable sanitary measures. Yeah. Like to me, 5 stars is like, I got what I expected. I got what I paid for. And I've never given a place less than 5 stars because I just feel like,
I wouldn't feel right doing that. Like, I don't know. Like, unless someone really, like, did me dirty. Like, I just, I don't know. Like, I just, even then, like, I just.
Yeah. And especially right now during the pandemic, a lot of people are giving, you know, less than 5 stars and especially like 1 or 2 stars for places that are like actually forcing you to wear a mask and doing what the state is, you know, recommending and requiring of them to do. So this is your PSA. Please be nice on Yelp and on Google reviews.
Yes.
Just don't give it 1 star because no ghosts showed up. Cause that isn't a really ridiculous standard to hold any business to.
So Nikki Ray was at my bachelorette party and we were trying to reminisce, but then Nikki Ray, which is a valid point, said to me, I don't really remember much of that weekend, which is fair.
Yes. I don't remember a lot of it between not just the alcohol, but it was really hot.
It was the hottest day of the year.
It was the hottest day of the year. I just think that between the alcohol and the heat stroke and everything else that was going on, it was a very fun weekend. I can tell you that for sure. Cannot tell you a lot of the details, but we went to a Pirates game.
We did.
And we all had our matching outfit, like our matching tank tops or t-shirts or whatever they were.
We did.
And it was very, very fun. And we made friends with this bachelor party that was there that was tailgating next to us.
I forgot about them.
They were really nice. I hope they're doing well.
I do too. We're sending our best regards out to them.
It was fun, but it was a fun day. And then we went into the baseball game. You have to understand, I don't know anything about baseball. I've never cared about baseball, but I love the atmosphere of a baseball game. I'm over there like, cotton candy, Dippin' Dots. This is great. This is like the best day of my life. Had no idea what was going on.
We're literally like rotisserie chickens. Because we were like out in the outfield,
yes.
I'm pretty sure. And like, it was so fucking hot. And, like, someone saw us on TV and they're like, you guys look fucking miserable. We are.
We probably were miserable. And I look back at pictures of that day and you can just see the hair, like, sticking to our faces because we were sweating so much. And, of course, we thought we, like, looked really good. But then looking back on it, we were like, oh, my gosh. And then we all were sharing a hotel room. And so we're trying to, like, cycle in and out of the shower to get ready for that night and like go out and have fun. And we were sunburnt and like I don't even think I could shower because my skin was hurting from like having anything touch it. And then I tried to wear this romper. Everyone looked really cute. Everyone was wearing a romper. All the bridesmaids were wearing a black romper. Danny was wearing a white romper. And I had packed a black romper, but I couldn't wear it because of my sunburn, because it kept pulling on my shoulders. So I had to change, and I was the only one not wearing a romper. And
well, it was probably easier for you to use the restroom while everyone else had to completely undress.
Well, yeah.
That's true.
A bridesmaid out of a romper in the hotel lobby. Remember?
No. I don't remember that.
I think it was you that did it.
That did the cutting.
We had to borrow scissors from the lobby.
Oh my gosh. I remember. Yeah, because we had to ask the front desk.
Yeah.
And I think they were just like, oh, please just get out of the lobby.
Like, please just go away.
This is a nice hotel.
We do not have these situations in our
And area. We are in the South Side.
Yes.
South Side.
South Side Pittsburgh, which is really fun. I love South Side Pittsburgh.
Oh, it's such a good time.
That's where my sister lives in Pittsburgh now. I love South Side, and it's so fun to, like, because, I mean, there's just blocks and blocks of just bars and restaurants, and you can hop from one place to another, and it's actually, it's pretty safe for the most part, but where we were staying was, like, a little, it was a nice hotel, but, like, not in the safest place.
We definitely stepped over a homeless man when we left.
Yeah.
For sure, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was a fun weekend. I missed that weekend, from what I remember.
How you stopped the car because you were a pedestrian and you had the right of way.
I did have the right of way. So we were crossing a street, and the oncoming traffic had a stop sign, and then there was a crosswalk. And in the state of Pennsylvania, and I'm pretty sure probably most other states, when you have a stop sign and there is a pedestrian crosswalk, the pedestrian has the right of way. You have to stop and you have to wait. And so this car was, like, coming down the street as we're getting ready to stop. They weren't, like, really showing signs that they were going to stop at the stop sign. But I was like, you know what? I have the right of way. I'm walking. As if, like, I'm not about to take on, like, a 2-ton vehicle if they don't stop. Thinking, like, well, I have the right of way, so, like, I should do this. Even though, safety-wise, just, like, don't assume that a car is gonna stop, because they might not, and then you're gonna lose. even if you legally have the right of way, like, there's no reason to try, for pride purposes, to take on a vehicle when, like, you're just
multiple deaths at Penn State as a result of that.
Yes, which is where I went to school, so that's where I learned all of this nonsense about just, like, cross the street whenever you feel like it, and they'll stop, hopefully. But yeah, so then everyone else is like, stop, the car's not stop, don't cross the street, what are you doing? And I'm just like, guys, come on, let's cross the street, like, we've got places to go. And the car, like, did stop,
kind of.
They slowed down enough,
a rolling stop,
that I could smack the hood of the car and be like, you have to stop. And I, like, look this person dead in the eye through the windshield, and this person's like, I cannot even tell you what the emotion was. Like, I don't know if this person was like, oh no, or if this person was like angry. I have no idea. I couldn't see because it was dark out. It was nighttime, and I'm just over here fighting people in heavy vehicles. But I slam on the hood of the car, and I was like, you have to stop. And then I just keep walking. And then everyone's still on the other side of the street because they're smart and responsible, being like, just stop. Okay, you're on the other side of the street. Leave the car alone. Stop picking a fight with this driver. Like, just please stop picking a fight. And then I think I might have flipped them off. I don't do that either. It was not, like, a good decision, but I did it anyway. Because I just felt very empowered to cross the street because I had the right of way. And it's,
you did. You were
following the law, and they weren't. They weren't even going to stop for a stop sign. You may have stopped them from T-boning someone. Who knows? You could have saved a life that day.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to tell myself from now on. Yeah. You're welcome, everybody.
You're welcome
out there for
public
being
service.
Yeah. Crossing guard Nicole was there to save the day. Yeah,
you're holding them accountable for not following the law. They weren't even going to stop at the stop sign.
Yes, and listen, you should stop at stop signs. You should follow the law. But also, if you're a pedestrian, just don't take on a car, a moving vehicle.
Maybe no.
It's not at night in a city where you're not familiar with, and this person could be anybody. You don't know what they have in the car. You don't know what they're doing.
You don't know how stable they are or not.
So I'm not saying it was a, even though I was correct in that I had the right of way, just swallow your pride for a second and be safe. And that's that on that.
That's the moral of the story.
Yeah.
Ad break. If you're a loyal listener to the Sendhel podcast, you know that we're two bitches that love to shop. And if you're new here, then I'm sure you've picked up on that. We love to find the deals, and we're here to help you find the deals on clothing we love and wear ourselves. We recently discovered the Mud Honeys Boutique, and they're based out of Kentucky. They make custom t-shirts that we both love at super affordable prices. And they only release a limited number of custom graphic t-shirts and sweatshirts, so you know that you'll have a one-of-a-kind piece. And they offer so many other cute pieces and accessories too. Check out their website, shopthemudhoneys.com, and use our promo code SENDHELP15 for 15% off of your purchase. Again, use our promo code SENDHELP15 for 15% off of your purchase. Now back to the show.
We're really excited to be in Nikki Ray's wedding party.
I'm very excited to have you both in my wedding party.
It's going to be very fun. You are
two of my oldest friends when we were working back in the JCP.
JCPenney, bringing the people together.
Truly.
It did make some lasting friendships.
It did.
It did. It did. There's nothing like shared trauma to really bond people.
We could probably have like a 2-hour podcast about all the retail like stories that we have from JCPenney.
Okay. I'm just saying, the number of people who defecate in fitting rooms.
I did not know that was a thing.
Yes. It happened truly once a month.
Okay, so one of the first things they teach you, this is a retail 101. When you're cleaning up fitting rooms, they'll say if there's ever like clothing in a corner, do never pick it up all at once. Because if you do, there might be fecal matter.
You could smear it all in there.
You're touching it. Because people will use the fitting rooms as restrooms.
Like homeless people? Or
yes.
Like, okay.
Well, or just in general, like people that don't make it to the bathroom. Doesn't matter.
Not even like people with homelessness. Just like, just truly like normal people.
Yeah.
I mean, people that you would look at and think are totally normal.
What?
Are not normal because that's what they're doing. Yeah. But, like, you would not expect it.
Why are people doing this? Like, what's this? This is common. So why is this a thing that people frequently do? I'm just very curious.
Okay, I don't know if it's – I don't know if it's, like, shoplifting where people get a rush out of it. Like, I don't know if it's – I don't know if it's, like a fun thing for people. I can tell you that it happened frequently enough that I do not think that it was like a bathroom emergency. If it happened like once a year or something like that, not excusing the behavior, but I would maybe chalk it up to like, oh, somebody just had like an emergency and that was their only option, or so they thought.
Right.
But it happened frequently enough that like there's no way that many people are having urgent emergencies. It was a lot. I mean, it truly happened all the time. And then we had to call the mall sanitation, you know, workers, because as employees, like, we can't obviously touch bodily fluids, nor should we have to.
No.
And I just remember the one time calling the one sanitation worker for the mall, telling them what happened, and then this poor exacerbated woman on the other end of the line being like, again? And I was like, well, yeah. She was like, this happened yesterday. I was like, oh, I wasn't working yesterday. But yes, it happened again today. And I guess it was apparently 2 days in a row, like in the same department.
A double offender.
I really, truly, even after working there for many years, don't understand what the reason was. Like, did people not know we have restrooms?
Right.
Was it something that people do as like a rush or like as a thrill, as an adrenaline seeking behavior. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But it did happen more frequently than you would probably expect.
Or even underwear. Like, I remember finding, like, underwear in fitting rooms all the time.
Yes. And you would find a lot of times accompanying the tags of new underwear. Yes. So people are just swapping out their old underwear for new underwear in the fitting rooms, taking the tags off of, like, the merchandise underwear, putting them on, and then leaving their old underwear in the fitting room. And maybe don't put underwear on that you haven't washed yet.
I can't imagine. Like, the other people had their...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, all the places they've been before they've even gotten to the store.
Yeah. It's...
And then putting that on your area.
Yes. Putting underwear on directly before washing them. Yeah. I don't recommend it, but people did it all the time. And sometimes in the summer, you would see people walking out with, like, multiple layers on that they did not come in with. But at some point, you can't.
You just choose your battles.
You just pick your battles, because really, you don't get paid enough to flag people down and try to fight them.
You weren't allowed to either.
No.
No, you're not allowed to. I mean, unless you, like, I think witness somebody putting something in their bag, like, you witness the theft and then you witness them walking out of the store with it, in which case you're actually not allowed to say anything. You have to flag security. And at that point, they're gone. Like, you know. So it was an interesting experience. I'm forever grateful to JCPenney for giving me a job when I was 16 years old looking for my first job. Nobody else would hire me. But don't miss some of the duties of the job.
Experiences.
Oh, and Black Friday was always doozy.
Yeah, because we were open 24 hours.
I will never forget the time that I think it was one of the first years I was a manager at JCPenney, and I watched a toaster come over the top balcony from the escalator and hit the floor. And I was just like, I can't do this.
Yes. I was there. I was there that day because then one of our other managers asked me to be an eyewitness for, like, what happened. And I was like, there's nothing else I can tell you. I just watched this toaster. I don't have a lot of information about what happened before that because, you know, the home department was on the second floor, women's department was on the first floor. So the only information I can give you is that I saw this toaster fly down the escalator section, and then I see somebody running down the escalator.
Like, in a physical altercation over this toaster.
Over this toaster, which I was like, toasters on any day cost like $20. Why are you fighting over a toaster?
A $10 toaster with like a $10 rebate. Like, I just don't understand.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure stuff like that, it's not even like discounted immediately. You have to send in the rebate to get your money back.
And then 6 to 8 business months later, you might get it back.
You might get your rebate back. If you, you know, send in your receipt and do all this other ridiculous stuff that you have to do to get a rebate.
Honestly, like, we could both tell you, like, traumatizing tales about people falling down these escalators and, like, witnessing it. And it's the scariest thing.
It's so scary because you're just, like, there's nothing you can do.
No,
you're just standing there watching them fall down the escalator, because what are you going to do?
You can't stop it, because if you stop it, it literally makes it worse.
Yes. Yes. Like, and by the time you would run over to the escalator and push the emergency stop button, like, they're already at the bottom. So it doesn't even do anything. And it's
traumatizing.
It's so, like, I mean, when I thought I was signing my JCPenney employment contract, I did not know that I was signing up for all of this. But I mean, nothing against JCPenney. I don't want to get sued for slander. It's anything.
Any department store. I think any department store or, like, retail job that you work at, it's probably like that.
Yes. Like, it's nothing against JCPenney. Like, I don't want to make it seem like this is specific to JCPenney. It's just something about, like, department stores or, like, dressing rooms or escalators or anything. Like, you're just always going to have people who don't handle their privileges very well.
See.
So it's fun.
Honestly, we could literally have, like, many episodes full of just, like, tales from, like, a retail experience and
Yes.
There's so many. There's literally so many.
You could start a separate podcast.
For sure.
Just for, like, retail stories. And I promise they'd all be very entertaining.
For sure, yes. So we do need to dive into some of the tales that we were talking about earlier.
Oh,
so
boy.
I don't know, like, what we want to dive into, like, first. But I feel like maybe the story that you told me about the bush.
Okay. Okay. About the bush. A physical plant bush. Okay. So this was several years ago. We were all, you know, a group of us attending an event. And like the night before the big event, we had all kind of gotten together. And I had met this woman. And she was also attending the same event the next day. And mind you, I talked to her for 20 minutes. Like, I mean, we met and we chatted for a minute.
So, like, kind of, like, loose acquaintances, I'd say.
Like, yes.
You don't really know them, but, like, you're kind of getting to know them. Like, you're feeling somebody out.
Yes. Yeah. So, like, that was – and I knew about her and, right. You know, had, like, heard about her and kind of knew a little bit, but – that was my first time meeting her. So then fast forward to the next day. I had already gotten my hair done. There was a group of us, like, we were at the salon getting our hair done. We get a phone call that said woman cannot be found. Like,
MIA.
MIA. Had gone home that, like, the previous night with the person that she was staying with at their house. Had been there for a period of time, but then the person she was staying with went to sleep because the next day was a big day. And what that person woke up and she was just not in the house, like, was nowhere to be found. But her phone, her keys, her car, like,
all the important items.
Like, everything that you would think a person would take with them if they were leaving, like, purposefully, like, that they would have with them. And so I had already gotten my hair done, and I was, like, the only person that wasn't playing, like, a pivotal role in this event, and so, and my hair was done. So they were like, okay, you have to, like, we'll call her Brenda.
Yes, Brenda's a good name.
Brenda. And they were like, you have to, like, go find Brenda. And I was like, but I don't know Brenda. Like, I don't know anything about this person. And they were like, yeah, but, like, she's, like, missing. And
you have to locate Brenda. And she is gone.
And you have to locate Brenda. So, like, the only information I have is, like, where Brenda was last seen, which is at this person's house. But all her stuff is still there. And so I'm, like, wandering around the neighborhood trying to find Brenda. And, I mean, mind you, like, I'm in, I don't know, like, sweatpants and a flannel so that, you know, because you always wear, like, a button-up when you get your hair done so that you don't mess it up, like, pulling a shirt over your head to get dressed. So I'm wearing, like, sweatpants and a flannel, not thinking that anybody's going to really see me before I actually, like, get ready and put my dress on and my makeup and stuff like that. So I have my hair professionally done, walking around in sweatpants and a flannel in February in Pennsylvania. It's, like, very cold and rainy. Looking for this person, and I have no information to go off of. So I'm walking around the neighborhood with my hair done. I feel really weird. Like, I'm like, walking around this neighborhood where, like, actual people live and, like, pay mortgages for and are, like, real people who are not trash. And I'm walking around the neighborhood with my hair done, but, like, in sweatpants and a flannel, trying to just, like, figure out where to look for this person. Like, I have nothing to go off of. And so at one point, this woman, who I presume lives in the neighborhood, is walking, like, exercise walking, walks past me and kind of gives me this look, like, what are you doing here? Why are you wandering around my neighborhood? And I just don't know what to say. So I'm like, if you see an orange tabby cat, can you let me know? Because I just felt like I had to give some reason for, like, why I'm just, like, wandering around the neighborhood aimlessly. And she was just like, okay. But I'm like, can you let me know? As if, like, I know her and she's going to know how to contact me if she finds this cat. So but I was looking for a human being.
Not a cat.
So I felt really weird, and I'm like calling people being like, what do I do? Like, you're sending me out into the wilderness with like no information. And they were like, well, we don't have any more information than you do. And like, they're trying to get this, the tent set up and the chairs and like all this stuff for this event. And so I'm like trying to be self-sufficient, but also have only ever met this person once. And also like really don't know what even, I'm kind of thinking like, why is nobody else like a little bit more worried?
Right, like shouldn't somebody be concerned that like a person is like gone?
Right, like did she like get abducted? Because all her stuff is at the house, right, like that she's staying at. Items. Right, like her phone, her keys, like anything that you would think a person would take with them if they left the house like on purpose. So I'm like, why is nobody more worried about this? But like, okay. But
go locate.
Yes. But they were like, go find her. So I'm like, okay, Brenda, I'm coming for you. I don't know where you are. But okay. So then probably for like an hour, I'm just wandering around. I'm like, am I going to find like a shoe? I'm looking for like a shoe. I'm looking for like any sign that this person like got confused and tried to get into somebody else's house or like I just, I mean, I'm just looking for any sign that this person was here. Like, I mean, I don't know what I'm looking for, but I'm just looking for anything out of the ordinary. And then all of a sudden, I'm at like the top of the street. I just see this head pop out of a bush down the street. And I'm like, Brenda? She's like, hey, I'm here. This, this woman, God bless her heart, something happened. After the person she was staying with went to bed, something happened and she slept in a bush.
Sometimes you just gotta sleep in a bush.
And I don't, like, everything that happened from the time that this person went to bed to the time that I found Brenda, there's not a lot of information on it. But that's...
Was she there all night?
Well, that's, I don't know. I don't know if she was there for 20 minutes. I don't know if she was there all night. We don't really know. But she pops out of a bush. There's Brenda. And I was like, people are looking for you. And I was like, you need to call, you know, beep, X's person's name, because everyone's been looking for you. Can you please call the person that you, whose house you're staying at, because we didn't know where you were. And she was like, oh, well, I was just like right here. And I was like, well, yeah.
No one can see you in the bush, ma'am.
Yes, no, but one. Like, that's, I don't think that's where people were looking for you.
Playing hide and seek? I don't like, know what's going on.
So poor Brenda was, we found her in a bush. And, you know, she pulled it together. She was at the event somehow, but it was quite...
Well, from everybody being laid back about it, sounds like this may be something that's not out of character.
I think that everybody's, like, I mean, and this is where I think I'm a little bit paranoid, because everyone else was very much like, oh, well, this happens. Like, oh, but, like, the one time that she might actually be in trouble is the time that nobody's worried about it. I was very worried, but, you know, she was fine, and that's all that matters.
Head popping out of a bush.
I mean, I
have a cartoon.
And I was, like, at the other end of the street, and I just see this person popping out of the bush, and I'm like, that can't be. I'm thinking, like, is there an orange tabby cat? That's I just was like, this cannot be what happened. And the other thing is, you know, I think a lot of people were thinking, oh, maybe she went for like a walk or whatever early in the morning. But I'm like, who wouldn't take, who doesn't take their phone or their keys or anything? Who just like leaves the house without giving anybody any notice?
Right. And just goes away.
And just goes for a walk. But
by her own standards.
Yeah. So I was the only one who was worried about it, and of course I was the one that was tasked with finding her, because I was the only person that wasn't really, like, playing a pivotal role in this event. So, we found Brenda, and honestly, I kind of wanted to, like, be, you know, rebelled as, like, a hero, but I guess nobody felt that way. Nobody felt Brenda was in danger, so then when I found her, nobody really, everyone,
it was just a menial task.
Like, yeah, everyone was just like, oh, okay, Good thing we know where Brenda is now.
She was just showing up at some point.
Like, I was like, guys, you don't understand, like, how hard I was looking for clues. I was like,
all that I went through mentally and emotionally.
Yes, basically. I didn't know what, but yeah. But then the more I got to know Brenda as the day went on, I realized why nobody was really like surprised about the fact that she had been missing in a bush. But there's that.
We
so
love
that,
that.
Yeah.
We
so love that was like a very fun day for me.
Brenda Bush being the FBI.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So
Brenda.
I don't know. If anybody ever needs a private investigator, I'm your girl.
We have the gal for you.
As long as the person you're looking for just turns up in a bush, I can probably find them.
Yeah.
So that was that.
I'm also really fascinated by when you have insomnia, like how you cure that insomnia.
Because, or like, entertain yourself.
Okay, yes. I didn't cure the insomnia. I definitely made it worse.
Well, this comes back to investigating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I may have missed my calling because I'm very intrigued by certain groups of people, one of them being flat earthers. And I went through this weird spell like a few months ago where I could not fall asleep. I mean, I think I went weeks and weeks and weeks where I was getting maybe 2 or 3 hours of sleep a night. I don't really know why I couldn't sleep very well. But I think it was one of those things where like the ways that I was combating the insomnia were like making me more hyper. One of which being the one night I like could not sleep and I was done like trying to sleep. I was just like, there's no way I'm falling asleep right now. So I like got on Facebook and started scrolling, and then I don't really remember how one thing led to another, but I found a Flat Earth Society Facebook group. And I was like, yes.
That no one is actively searching for.
And I was like, absolutely, this is what I'm doing tonight. And it's like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I joined this Facebook group. I had to answer some questions to get in,
she couldn't just join.
Right? No, you can't just join. It's a private group. But then I guess the settings that they had on like the group or whatever, like as long as I answered these questions correctly or answered them or whatever, it automatically let me in. So then, you know, 5 minutes later, like I'm in this group. And I'm scrolling. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the most wild. Flat earthers do not only believe that the earth is flat. One of the many things that I learned from being in that group for a short period of time was that I think there's a subgroup or like some group of them that like don't think that Australia exists. Like they don't believe in Australia.
Just not real.
It's just like a conspiracy. Yeah, like it's a conspiracy. And so that somebody had posted this poll in the group that said, do you believe that Australia is real? 78% of people said no. And I was just like,
obviously.
But there are people that live in Australia.
It's a large
There's like real.
It was on fire.
Yes.
It was literally on fire.
There are very real. Yes, there are very real people that live in Australia. And you can like book a plane ticket to Australia.
Yeah, where do you think the flight goes?
And it will take you there.
Another dimension.
Yeah, like you can verify that Australia is real. But I guess there's a thing with flat earthers that they don't believe that Australia exists. And so there's this poll. And so of course I'm reading the comments.
That's where all the juicy stuff.
Which is where comments, exactly, which is where all the gossip is. And I mean there were people fighting about because I think I was not the first person to come up with the idea to infiltrate the Flat Earthers Society Facebook group. So there's a very small group of people who are rational, who are arguing with people like, Australia exists. And and one person was like, you're a brainwashed Christian if you think that Australia is real. And I was like, and then I started to question, like, am I a brainwashed Christian? Oh my gosh, is Australia fake? And so that's when I realized I think I need to get out of this group. So I very quickly, like the next day, after entertaining myself for a few hours and, you know, eventually maybe falling asleep for like an hour at like 6 a.m., woke up the next morning, told my fiance that I had done this, and he was like, why? And I was just like, I don't know. I was bored and I didn't know what else to do. And he was like, I don't know if that's healthy for you.
Why not?
He's like, I'm like, do your thing. But also, do you realize that like your Facebook friends can see that you joined this group? And he's like, I don't know about this one. And so I think like later that day, like that afternoon after I had like had my fun with it, I think kind of like ignored it for a while. And then like the next night, unjoined the group because I was just like starting to think, what if the earth is flat? Like what if every single government on planet Earth got together and agreed that they were going to tell everybody that the earth was round, even though there's absolutely no reason to lie about that. And we can't get our governments to agree on anything, but like, that's the one thing that they're going to agree on. Yes. Is that we're going to lie about the shape of the earth. So I really was like, okay, I need to take care of my brain and like not do this anymore. But then I was like, okay, again, quarantine, I can't sleep, I'm bored, I don't really want to do the things that like I should be devoting energy to. So I started to like try to convince my fiance that I was convinced that the moon landing in like the 1960s or whatever was fake. I do not believe this, but I thought, what better way to spend my time and energy than to try to convince my fiance that I think that the moon landing is a conspiracy. And so I'm like, for like a week, like saying things like, but like, there was like a good reason for the U.S. to lie about it. Like, we were in the Cold War with Russia, and right. Russia was also competing to get on the moon. So like, of course the U.S. would lie about this. And then I'm saying, like, if you actually look at the pictures though, like the lighting's not even correct in relation to like where the sun should be. And God bless this man. I don't know how he does it. But he's just like, okay, I don't agree, but you're entitled to your opinion. And trying to like be nice to me about it. But then after several days or like a week or so of me trying to convince him, I was like, haha, you know, I was kidding. Right. And he's like, no, I didn't know you were kidding because you went and joined a Flat Earth Society Facebook group at 4 a.m. and you've been going on about this conspiracy moon landing for a week. No, I didn't know you were kidding. Why would I think you were kidding? I thought you were crazy. And I have a good reason to think that. And
not wrong.
So I was like, haha, you've been punked. And he's like, no, this... You're the one who suffered here. You're the one who spent your time and energy on something that was just not even necessary. It was just like totally not a good use of your time. But I was like, well, you know, whatever. We had fun with it.
Did you saying that? Like, I feel like we need to revisit Punk'd. Like, I feel like that's a show we need to watch again.
I don't know that I've ever really watched it. Like,
you
I know
watched it?
Ashton Kutcher had something, hosted it, yeah, or like had something to do with it. I don't know that I've ever really watched it.
Oh, it's quality.
We should probably rewatch it.
Probably, yes.
I really also want to rewatch what's that show where they bring in people on the bus and the people. Oh my gosh, I cannot even I can picture it so
far. Gone Wild?
No. No. Unfortunately, I was not allowed to watch that when I was a child. No, it was like Next, MTV's Next,
oh.
Where the people like they get off the bus,
the speed dating thing.
Yeah. Yes. And the people are getting off the bus and then they take like a snapshot of them getting off the bus and list like three random facts about that person. And then the person who's speed dating has to say next or say that they want to. I don't even know if I'm remembering the premise correctly.
No, you are, but like I'm just like now thinking like what would like three random facts be about like you or I or like Rhiannon? Like, could you imagine like having to give somebody facts? And they pick, like, three random ones.
I only have 24 teeth.
missing premolars.
I am missing so many. They pulled a lot of my teeth out.
Would that be your fact?
Because they wouldn't fit in my mouth. Unfortunately, anytime I was like in a class or something and they asked for my fun fact, that's what I would give people, was that I only have 24 teeth. And people were like, that's not fun. That's weird. But yeah, I'm missing teeth.
I need
teeth.
To come look.
Okay,
I
come look at me.
The dental hygienist is now looking.
I might have some brownie in my teeth.
I don't care. I know you're missing premolars because that's what they pull whenever. I think you have more than 24 teeth. I think you have 28. Do you have your canine?
We're doing a count.
Premolars. Yeah, you have 28. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
I'm literally counting teeth right now on this
podcast. Wait, hold on. What can I? 32 minus 4.
You haven't even been drinking.
Shut up. But I just did.
I'm pretty sure I only have 24. Hold on.
No. I think you're right. Maybe no, you're right. I just count 12 on top of 12 on bottom. So that's 24, but
you need to drink your milk.
35 minus 8. Yeah. Yeah. So you just had, you had your wisdom teeth removed and then your premolars on the top and bottom. Not both sets, just one set.
Okay.
This is what they always do with when they should have given you an expander instead of pulling teeth. I'm pro expander, not.
I had an expander.
Yeah, me too. I cranked that.
Well, that's not what they did. They just yanked them out. And I also don't have a frenulum, like that little thing.
Yeah. Ligament.
Don't have that. They lasered that out too. For no.
Oh my God.
Well, they did that so it didn't give you receding gums.
Oh.
If it's too short, it will pull on your gum tissue, and then you'll have receding gums, and then your root will be exposed.
I feel a lot better about myself. Thank goodness we did this podcast today.
Thank God.
Because I was just like, wow, I really got bamboozled by the orthodontist.
Bamboozlement is like the lifestyle here.
Yeah, we have the frenulums on the top and bottom and the front, and then there are like two on the sides on the, those can go away a little bit, and then the one on your tongue, if it's short, that's why people have a lisp.
Oh.
Interesting.
Yeah. Facts.
We love that.
This is an educational podcast.
Duh. We talk about drinking and overspending, but yes. I think that they're a fact in every now and again.
Yeah, listen, this is a child-friendly educational.
Obviously, please listen to this with your underage children in the car.
Yes, yes.
We never say fuck, ever.
And we are equipping you to go have a conversation with your oral surgeon or your orthodontist. Like, you have enough knowledge now that you can avoid being bamboozled. Correct. By people who have your best interest in mind.
Or, I mean, I don't know, if you're sleeping like 1 hour a night and you're like, you know, I just really need to join a Facebook group.
Yes. The educational part of this being, don't do it. Just find something else to do. Empty your dishwasher, clean your counters. Don't.
Literally anything.
Listen to a meditation app. Don't join an infuriating Facebook group because it's only going to make you more hyper. Then you're not going to sleep very well.
Yes.
So that was that on my flat earth experience.
We love that here. I mean, wow, guys. Not only have we've really gone to many topics here. Like, not only have we covered, like, is Australia real or not?
It is.
Is the earth flat or not?
It is not.
No. Can you find somebody in a bush that you kind of maybe know?
If they present themselves.
Can you stop oncoming traffic?
You might be able to, but you shouldn't try.
Not recommended.
Don't take the risk.
Can you see a demon? Maybe.
Maybe.
Don't talk to them. Don't invite them.
Yes. Baggins taught us.
Yes. Don't invite them in. They cannot hurt you if you don't invite them into your life. So just don't try to talk to them. Don't even something as little as saying like, "Oh, present yourself." That's an invite.
Yes.
So
I feel like this could also apply to toxic people in the real world.
Yes.
Maybe.
Which are arguably more of a threat to most of us than demons are. I would definitely be more careful with real people than with demons because real people are more populated. They exist more frequently than demons. I hope your listeners could learn a thing or two from researcher Nikki Ray. has just so much wisdom to impart.
Nikki Ray, thank you so much for having mimosas and just really being down for this podcast. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Rhiannon, thank you for being here.
I'm always happy to, I don't know, add something.
But we're definitely going to have both ladies back onto the podcast for sure. And thank you guys so much, and we'll see you next week.